It's Christmas, right? And for how many people here, Christmas is the best time of the year? It is, isn't it? I love Christmas. And I'm looking forward to spend Christmas this year with my family in Brazil. I'm originally from Brazil. And we haven't been there for probably like, it will be 4 years, son, Matthew. So we are really, really excited. And we just want to say thank you for all those that contribute to our trip to Brazil as well. So thank you so very much for participating with us. Can't wait. We decided that instead of counting the days to Christmas, we are counting our trip in Brazil. I don't know what's going on with our mics. Is it? Get another one?
All right.
All right. Good. This one, it's an anointed mic. So, yes. Drew and I, we were talking about some ideas for what we would be sharing during Christmas. And we couldn't help but to think about the amazing characters that we see in the whole story of Christmas, you know, around the birth of Jesus Christ. And then I talked to Drew about my ups and downs with this one character, and it happens to be my favorite character after Jesus, of course. But it's Mary. It's Mary. And the funny thing is that I grew up as a Catholic in Brazil. So Mary was really, really up here for us. You know, some people said, you know, she was really, like, in my religion, she was kind of like an idol where we prayed to Mary, and we had images of Mary in the Catholic Church.
Move to the red.
All right. Okay. So, Mary was up here, right? And then I got saved and I started like studying the Bible, and I realized that, you know, the Bible teaches that, you know, we shouldn't place anybody else in the place of God and Jesus, and that we should pray to God and in the name of Jesus. And Mary kind of like got it like demoted, right? She went from here to being here. And without a lot of wisdom, but just excitement for being new to the faith and like learning the Bible, you know, I kind of like went around in my family, my whole family, they are Catholics as well. And I kind of like, I was really hard on them about, you know, worshiping. Just to worship. Maybe it's my position here close to this. Let me move right in here. After that, I'm going to be right there. All right. It's going to be better here now, by faith. So really like a lack of wisdom. And I was kind of like beating them up with the Bible a little bit, you know, with the knowledge that I was getting without wisdom. So thank God for His grace. Thank God for patience, being patient with me. And thank God for my family as well. So as I really start like growing and reading the Bible and reading, you know, about the stories of the many people, amazing people in the Bible, I got really excited when learning about the real story of Mary. And if you don't mind, I would like to share a few things about her story. As you know, in the Christmas season, we read and we ponder about the whole story of Jesus and around the birth of Jesus. But it's amazing also to see like the people that unlikely people that was part of the story of the birth of Jesus and their faith story and how it plays. And we can learn a lot about God's character through those people. And we can identify with them as well because, you know, they were not like special people. They were just like normal people like we are. And that's the thing that I really appreciate about the Bible, just the people that God chooses and the people that God uses, people just like you and me, you know. It is really amazing. So if you would like to open your Bible with me, it's in Luke. We are in Luke today, chapter 1, starting verse 26. And I am reading from the New Living Translation, and I believe it's right in here for us. So if you don't mind, I love to read from verse 26 to verse 28, and it goes like this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the King David. The angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favorite woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she is barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. And I love how the New King James put this last verse. It puts like this in the New King James. "Then Mary said, Behold the maid servant of the Lord, and let it be to me according to your word." And here we have this young teenager, you know, very courageous. And her faith story, it's just amazing and very inspiring. Now let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this message today. Bless it to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to us through this message. And it's our petition this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And we want to play this video just to illustrate a little bit about this amazing character in the story of Jesus Christ. This is Mary.
That's what God wanted. Who was I to tell him he was wrong? Joseph. God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. With every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me. I'd be bringing this baby in the world without familiarity at all. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all that though. Just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him. But the only thing I had, which was an animal feeding trough. Jesus said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him.
Amen, amen. And indeed, you know, he has changed everything. And if you are here today, this Sunday morning, you know, you could just like with Mary, you could say, you know, and he has changed me, right? Jesus has changed us. But Mary's story is just amazing, you know? And I love this verse in the New King James where, you know, Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord." And she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." And a long time ago, a friend of mine, he is a pastor in Austria, his name is Rob Prokop, and he preached a message that I never forgot. And the message was, he used this word, behold, and he did, you know, several, like, studies on this word. And one thing that he came up with about this word, behold, it's stop, pay attention for what you are about to hear. It's almost unbelievable, but it's absolutely true. Behold, stop, pay attention, because what you are about to hear, it's almost unbelievable, but it's completely true. And as we think about the story of Mary and the several stories around the birth of Jesus, there is a lot to behold. There is a lot to go like, you know what? This is almost like unbelievable, but is totally true, right? Just like with Mary. And I love how, you know, In verse 37, it says this, "For the word of God will never fail." For the word of God, verse 37, Luke 1:37, "For the word of God will never fail." And Mary's response was this in verse 38. All right? If, indeed, if his word will never fail, here I am. I am young. I have no idea of this that it's going on. I just knew that I was dating and I was about to get married. But I am the Lord's servant, and may it be to me according to his word. And think about this, you know, if God's word will never fail, what would that really like prompt us to do in the daily basis of our lives? If the word of God, if we believe that God's word will never fail, and I had to think for a minute on my own life and look back in my personal experience and ask myself, has God ever failed with me? Has his word ever failed with me? And, you know, of course, like even with the hardest part and the hardest experience that I went through my life, I could name one that I could say, you know what? God lied to me. His word failed. No. His word will never fail. And sometimes, you know, God in his, as a good father with a sense of humor, he gives us the space to even like, you know, doubt, to even like have a spirit of like unbelief. And I have had so many times I had not trust, not believed God. But I love the fact that, you know, again and again, God is proving to us that he is worth our trust, and that his word never fails, and that he will do what he sent his word to do, and his word will not come back to him void, but his word will do what needs to be done. And here we are today, and we have like different stories and different like testimonies here, and God's word have been a reality in your life, in the life of your family, and God has used his word, and he has proven to you and me, yes, my word will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, you can trust, it will remain. You can hold on to it as the anchor of your soul. And we do that, folks. We do that. That's why we are here, you know, on a Sunday morning cold. We are not here just because of like religion. We love our religion. We are here this morning in a sense and every week, and we keep coming back because we want to, you know, confess that, yes, his word never fails. God will do everything that he said that he will do. He is faithful. We can count on. And again, you know, I love the story of this young teenager. And if you are here and you are young, let me tell you something. God can use you in a big, big way. Your faith can be, you know, something to behold. Something that it's like, you know, it's almost unbelievable, but it's absolutely true. And these are just 4 points that when I think about this story, I see God's, you know, working. And number one, just like with Mary, we can all be used by God, right? We can all be used by God. And here we are, it's December, you know, year 2022. And I just want to say to you sitting here this morning, that you can be used by God. God wants to use you. Maybe it's going to be in a different capacity than Mary, and for some of you are like, thank God for that. You know, I don't want any angel to show up to me with those words, right? Especially if you are a woman here today. But the reality is that God, he is still in the business of using people like me and you. And he wants to use you where you are, with the network that you have around you, with your family, in the neighborhood that he placed you, in the workplace, in the school that you go to every day. God wants to use you. I love 1 Corinthians 1:26. It goes like this. It's beautiful. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. And I believe we are all called by God. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not. I mean, there is all that category, and then there is like the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And again, as we open the Bible, we see stories after stories of people that, you know, who were they? You know, did they have something special going on for them? No. They were just like us. Normal people with a faith in God. And God was able to do great things. And I'm here this morning to say that, you know, God can and he wants to use every one of us here this morning. So it is Christmas, right? And what have you done? Thank God it's December 4 and we still have many days until Christmas. But God wants to use us. In what capacity? I don't know. But one thing that I know about my God is like he is pleased for us to give a cup of water in his name. He is pleased with that. That's amazing. We think about like being used by God by doing like great things. And sometimes God is like, I just want you to wash someone's feet. I just want you to serve someone, you know, that it's not being served and doesn't know about my love. And I want you to show them how much I love them this Christmas. Don't let this story just come in as a story of the past. But it's a powerful new story that has the power to transform someone's heart and to cause like a rebirth in someone's heart. The story of Jesus and what he came to do for all of us. So I believe God, he really wants to use any of us with a hug, with a smile, right? Point number two that I learned in the story of Mary is that we can trust God in all things. And once again, you know, maybe if the story that we were being invited to trust was the story of Mary, maybe we would be like running from it, right? To this day. But in, you know, every one of us, we are facing like different situations, which, you know, some of them, it's really, really like hard to believe. Anybody here, anyone here facing situation that you look at it and you go like, oh my God, this is hard to believe. Well, let me tell you, because the word of God will never fail. You know, we can trust God in all things. I love 1 Peter 1:6. It says this, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perish even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And I love this part here. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Right? Here we are this morning. We don't see him. We love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe him. And you are filled with an unexpressive and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We do not see him, but we trust him. We do not see him, but we believe him with all our hearts. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. We can trust him no matter what, even in the circumstances. And again, maybe this morning you came here with impossibilities that you are facing. And I just want to encourage you and to say to you, you can remain trusting him despite the circumstances that you are in. And then another point that I learned in this story, just like with Mary, we can come to God with our questions. And we do have them, right? Sometimes many of them. And maybe even this morning, you are here and you came here like, you know, yes, I'm going to go to church, but I do have questions. And we can come to God with our questions. You know, we just want to guard our hearts that we are coming to him with a humble heart, asking him, and not like a rebellious, unbelieving heart. But we can come to him. I love, and I'm jumping to Hebrews 4:16. It says this. There's two verses after Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hey, come boldly with the questions that you have. And sometimes it might be not you questioning at that moment. You know, it might be someone in your family. It might be a friend that you have, you know, with really, really like big questions about life, about the future, about possibilities. And God didn't say anywhere in the Bible, like, do not ask questions. Just like in the story, Mary's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm just like, you know, a young teenager. What's going on? How will this take place? And then the angel had an answer to her. And, you know, God, he will have an answer. Even if we have to wait for the answer. Sometimes, you know, he can answer ours right away. Sometimes, you know, we need to wait a little bit. Just like we as parents, sometimes when, you know, our children ask us or question us about something, sometimes, you know, we give an answer right away. Sometimes our answer to them, it's like, you know, if you could please wait. And sometimes, you know, the answer, it's like, trust me, but no. And it's okay, because he is the Heavenly Father. He knows the end, you know, before the beginning, right? He knows everything. And we can trust him, and we can come to him with our questions. And sometimes, you know, I know that some people, they are afraid to go to God with their questions. And they go to everyone to vent, right? But not to God. But God is wide open for all of us to come to him with the questions, the hard ones that we have in our hearts. And he wants to whisper. He wants to direct us. He wants to show us his will. God is not like hiding his perfect will from each one of us. No, that's why he wrote us, you know, this letter of love called the Bible, so that he could reveal to us his perfect will. If I wanted to know God's will, and if I wanted to know answers to the question that I have, that's why God sent me his letter of love, so that I could read and find out questions, you know, answers to the hardest questions that I have in my life. So, you know, come to him. James 1, 5 and 6, it says this: if you lack wisdom, and we do, you should ask God, and he will give it to you generously, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, you know, do not be anxious about anything. Come to God. Go to God. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. You know, here this Sunday morning, what we are talking about, what we are encouraging one another with, is that, you know, we can present our requests to God. What are your requests? This Christmas, present them all to God. I still believe in the miracle of Christmas. And I believe in the miracle that can happen every single day too. I really do. Because God, he hasn't changed. He is the same. And the last point that I love is that, just like with Mary, we can choose to worship God regardless of our circumstances. And if we go back to Luke chapter 1, you know, in the verse 39, this is how we end the story, and I'm ending here as well. It says this, that, you know, after Mary facing what she faced with the angel, and after her response, it says that at that time, Mary, she got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Remember, the angel told her about Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her." Again, blessed is he, blessed is she, blessed is you and me when we believe that God will fulfill his promises to us, and he will. And he will. This is the greatest message of Christmas. God will, in Jesus Christ, fulfill to us all his promises. And then Mary burst into worship, regardless her situation and circumstances. And we have this beautiful song here called the Song of Mary. And it says this: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me and us. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And then the verse says, and Mary, you stay there with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. See, it is really the most amazing time of the year, right? The walk with Jesus, the Son of God. And I love this story. I love the fact that we are encouraged, even though, you know, just like we read in 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9, even though we do not see him, we love him. Even though you do not see him, you believe in him, and you are filled with inexpressible joy, glorious joy. And you are going to receive the end result of your faith, the salvation, the complete package, the salvation of your souls. So, you know, Merry Christmas to us all. December, it's December 4th today, right? And, you know, what a great time we have. What a great opportunity we have this Christmas. A great opportunity to behold what seems to be like impossible, but absolutely true. What will that be for you? What will that be for your family? What will that be for a friend? What will that be in a circumstance that you are faced with? That you can say, just like with Mary, behold, you know, what you are about to hear from me, it's almost unbelievable. But I'm here to say it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So God can use you and me. We can trust him in all things. We can go to him with our questions. And we can choose to worship him regardless of our circumstances. Amen. That's the good news for today. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here with us. Lord, thank you that these are not just like stories from a book that we find in the library. But thank you that these are live stories till this day that keep on like leaping from the pages, keep on like transforming us as we hear and we let your spirit illuminate your word in our hearts. So, Father, today, here we are, and we are opening something that we can come to church and be just like, oh, we read the Jesus story. Oh, we read the stories around the birth of Jesus. No. Father, you promised that your word will never fail. And therefore, we are here today, Lord, to say humbly, but just like Mary, let it be to me, O Lord, according to your word. Let it be to you, to all of us here, according to God's word. There is nothing impossible for God. I don't know what you came here facing. Maybe giants. But here I am, your brother. And I'm here to say to you that God is faithful. God loves you and he loves each one of us. And he will be faithful to his word. And he will show up strong in your behalf. And he will deliver, just like he delivered with the story of Mary. He will deliver. you will look back in a few days or month or even like years, you will look back and you will find out and you will be able to say, God, you never failed me. You never, never failed me. So we are thankful this morning for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, and the fact that you are a God that will never fail us. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Thank you so much for listening.